Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Jets Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Jets Radio. This is one of your hosts, Tyson Rausch, in a scorching New Jersey day where it is like 100 degrees and 105 degrees with a heat index. Completely ridiculous. At Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter. Let's Talk Jets Radio on YouTube. We appreciate everybody that's been joining us. Last night, we unfortunately did not do a show because I had no friggin' power. But not only was it hot as hell, but I had no air conditioning either. So complete disaster there, so we apologize for that. Let me bring on Mr. Tyrone.
Yeah, what up, man? Big dog? What's going on, big homie? What's up with you, baby?
Bro, I am hotter than hell. Dude, it is so friggin' hot in New Jersey, man. It is just brutal.
Yo, I live in Virginia, man. Yo, trust me. And, you know, like, bro, I've had the longest day. I bought another truck today, another semi. So I'm in the process of getting everything done. So just going through the process of it. And I'm sitting there, so I get everything done I need to get done. And then the DMV, right? Like, the DMV, like, I just paid for my tags on the other truck. I was gonna move those tags over, and then just when I moved the other truck to another company, pay for it that way. So I just gave people $1,800. And you're going to tell me, they're like, yeah, we can get to you in, like, 6 to 8 weeks. I said, bro, where the F they do that at, bro? Like, and it just threw my whole day since then, being outside in the heat all day. Just, yo, big up to the DMV, man. Do y'all fucking job, bro. I'm just asking. Y'all been off for a whole fucking year. I would figure you'd be eager to work, but apparently I am wrong. But other than that, man, I'm doing good, man. How are you, brother?
Dude, I'm doing all right, man. Slowly but surely, we're trickling in. We're getting closer to training camp. You know, it's funny, Tyrone, and you know, we entered the off season and the offensive line was the biggest priority, and we expected a lot of big signings, and they really didn't happen. So we go to the draft, and then they get Vera Tucker. You're like, all right, we still were kind of like, man, what is Joe Douglas's plan with this line? We still have some concerns, like the right side of the line is a concern. Lo and behold, my friend, last week they make another power move, and they get Morgan Moses, the guy that we all wanted. That's your starting right tackle. It makes George Fant your swing guy, your depth guy. A good backup for Becton. And, you know, we kind of preached, or I did at least, preached patience early on in the offseason. Everybody's like, oh, geez, with Joe Douglas. I'm like, we got to wait till training camp. We can't panic in April. We can't panic in May. We can't panic in June. Let's see what this roster is come, you know, late July, early August when they had the training camp. And right now, Tyrone, this offensive line, which was a concern heading into the offseason, has been upgraded.
Bro, when I say that, you know, Joe Douglas has done an exceptional job rebuilding the offensive line, and we realized that we had a lot of holes and we needed a lot of things fixed. But when I say, man, he did this in pretty much one off season or two off seasons, you got to tip your hat to the guy. Just by, you know, get Moses in the building. I mean, you have lined up. You have a quality starter in the NFL who graded number six in the NFL last year. In the offensive line play. I mean, at the right tackle. So how can you possibly be upset? Then going into the offseason next year, we have four, you know, picks in the first two rounds. We have $75 million in cap money projected. And on top of that, man, I think we're going to be sneaky good this year, bro. I don't want to overthink shit, but I'm telling you, bro, we'll be able to run the football. You know, we can keep guys healthy. And it depends on the production of our quarterback. But giving a young quarterback what he needs, a good running game and a good offensive line, bro. And you can't say that right now that our offensive line isn't 10 times better than what it's been the last, I don't know, five or six seasons. Maybe going back to the playoff Rex type situation.
No, dude, this is, listen, You start – the way you build your offense, everything starts the offensive line. Now, there's a lot of good here. The good is there are some significant upgrades. I mean, you know, Vera Tucker's going to be an upgrade. Morgan Moses is an upgrade. So for this year right now, you're giving Zach Wilson a chance. Say, you know what? We're going to give you somewhat of a stout line. They should be able to run block. You establish the run. A solid running game is the best thing for a young quarterback as he finds his way in the NFL. That's the good thing. Bad thing is a lot of these guys are on one-year deals, or they only have one year left on their contract. So next year, a lot of these guys are going to be gone. So you got to figure out what you're going to do there too. So you kind of want to have some long-term answers. That's probably why they try to offer, you know, Moses a longer-term deal, like a, you know, multi-year deal to kind of get everybody in the fold for a couple of years. But now you have him in the building. If you like what he's doing, you can try to work on an extension. But, dude, this is good. You know, and you,
It's great.
Yeah, it is, because you have legitimate guys. Like, I think right guard is still going to be a concern. My personal hope is that Cameron Clark finds a way to win that job. So then you have a lot of young guys. And you'd have Becton, you have Vera Tucker, you have Clark. Like, all these young guys growing together will be perfect. The thing, you know, they appear to be very high on McGovern. The more you read, the more you realize how bad of a coach Adam Gase really was in terms of play development, coaching, play calling, offensive line approach, all this. There was so many different things that you read about. You're like, dude, what in the hell were they doing? So McGovern, you get the benefit of the doubt. So maybe this guy is a better fit than we realized, because, you know, LaFleur and all these guys analyzed them all and said, listen, you know, we think these guys can fit right now. Like, we'll be okay with them. So offensive line is a plus. And then if you go from there, you say, okay, what you have your offensive line. What's the next most important thing to the young quarterback is your running game. And dude, to be honest, the running backs are kind of exciting too, because you have a good mix of everything.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing I like about it the most, man, is Joe D saw a true weakness. You know, and any successful team cannot be successful without protecting your quarterback. I don't care who it is. You look at Russell Wilson, that's why he's having all the problems he's having right now. That's why Seattle hasn't made a Super Bowl, because, you know what I'm saying, since their line failed. You can't win like that. You can't in the NFL be able to guard every week and have your quarterback take a beating like that. I think they learned with Sam, you know what I'm saying, and they, you know, kudos to them. You know, I think that they understand that, you know, give this kid could be something special, but give this kid a chance to take the pressure off him, man. And the only thing I say now that scares me is probably just Becton, you know what I'm saying, Tyson, your favorite saying, and I always agree with it when you say it. Your best ability is availability. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to.
Yeah, but now you have Fant, though, dude. Like, Fant could be the backup for him, which is good. Like, and that's a legitimate, guy, not fucking Connor McDermott.
You don't have to worry about McDermott. But McDermott still could be the third tackle. That's wonderful. Now, like last year with McGovern, I'm gonna say this right here. Last year, it wasn't that McGovern played that bad. Our guard play was that bad last year. Our guard play was probably the worst in the NFL last year. So he had to compensate for a lot of different stuff, and I'm not making no excuses for him because he is who he is. I think this year right here, he'll be a lot better. And you want a guy like him with a rookie quarterback. I didn't want a rookie center. I just think that's too much for a rookie quarterback. I'd rather have a veteran in there to be able to make some of the calls and take some of the pressure off of him. But having the guard play we have now, McGovern can basically do his job. Now, the right side guard, you know, is probably the only thing that really scares me. But you got three or four guys that can really go at it and see who wins it. We don't know who else might get dropped this summer. Somebody, another good guard could get cut this summer and really solidify this line. And that's something I'm looking forward to. But I love what Jody did, and I like the one-year deal, because actually, if things don't work out, you have two first-round picks next year. You can grab you a tackle next year. You can grab you, you know what I'm saying? You can trade both of those and get up and get the best tackle in the draft next year and put them on your team. You know what I'm saying? So it's so many options, because we have 11 picks next year. You're not going to draft 11 people, you know what I'm saying, because you just bought a lot of guys this year. So you're probably going to take about probably six or seven guys. So you can really move up and down the draft board. Go get what you want and you really need. I mean, now, you know, the two major needs on this team right now is cornerback and tight end. You feel me? Now, that's a beautiful thing to say. Ain't it, Tyson? Ain't that beautiful to say, man of God?
Well, it's beautiful for a variety of reasons. But if you go back, and the wild thing is, like, Joe Douglas is very, very wise with his cap space and with his contract. And you basically look at it. The money he saved on Jamison Crowder, he just spent on Moses.
Yes.
So it's like, dude, like the way he managed that, you're like, check this shit out. So we still have plenty of cap. We still have plenty of cap space. We still have plenty of flexibility. And you're right. If you look at, like, tonight we'll just focus mostly on offense. And so you look at, you know, if you want to go tight end position, you know, we're getting a lot of messages now where it's like, what do the Jets do at tight end? Now, listen, Chris Herndon, we all want to believe in, but he is ridiculously inconsistent where it makes you just go crazy. You know, you have Tyler Croft. You have the undrafted free agent. You have all these guys. But Tyrone, Zach Ertz is sitting out there. And
yes,
the Eagles are trying to get rid
yes.
of him. So at what
nothing,
point do the Jets
nothing.
Do the Jets consider going after Zach Ertz?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wish Jody would have already made that call. And I'm just going to say this. And I'm going to say this why. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, it's all good. The Herndon Project. I don't want to wait to see if he you know, if he develops into something good. We can't take that chance. You bring Ertz in, bro, right there. You have a prolific NFL offense that can compete with anybody in our division, in you know, in the National Football League. There's still a few teams that are going to be better than us offensively, man. That's a really dangerous squad. He's big. He's over the middle. He protects well. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's savvy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, bro, that's all you need to give this kid a blanket. And I don't want, you know, I don't want to, listen, give the kid whatever he needs to be successful. I don't want to, okay, let's see if Herndon works out. What if he doesn't? Because he hasn't so far. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, well, he could be this guy. I don't want nobody could. I want to bring in the guy that we know that's going to perform from day one. I mean, he doesn't have to give us big numbers, but if he gives our quarterback 600 yards for the season, protects him, something over the middle, a threat down the steam, bro, I mean, oh, my God, man. Like, sky's the limit, man. Like, I mean, I feel
you,
like we have
but
the money.
But the question I have for you is, is tight end that important when we have five receivers, you have all these running backs coming out of backfield, you have a lot of versatile pieces? Is it worth, you know, giving up draft resources and, you know, $8.5 million a year for Zach Ertz? Or do we have enough pieces that we don't have to make that special? Keep in mind, I'm pretty sure his contract is voidable after this year. So basically it's a one-year deal for him. Do you trade from the give him an extension? Like, there's a lot of things that go in with that.
Well, I'm going to say this right here. Like, I think it's important because the simple fact is, you know, you want to give your quarterback all the weapons you can give him. You want to give him a big target over the middle. What is like 6'5", you know, going across the middle, 240, 250, whatever he is. He's a big guy. He's a big target. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really
only 31 years old.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I think that you're not going to give up a large pick for him, bro. Like, the Eagles, what are you going to get? We'll give up a fifth-round pick? We give up a six-round pick? How is that going to hurt us? We have 11 picks this year. You know what I'm saying? I doubt he's going to command anything. He just doesn't want to be there. Yeah, you know, but if we don't make the move, I understand as well, too. We have other weapons. But like I said, man, let's give our quarterback a chance to succeed. I don't want to put him in any kind of way to where he doesn't have what he needs. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. It's like the same way we got with Sam. I think with Herndon, I think it's probably time to move on. I hope he's productive, but why? You know, when are you gonna pick it up? When are you gonna learn? When are
well,
you
it's
gonna
a contract year
gonna...
for him, man. This is make or break time
so
for Chris Herndon, dude. It's either, that's it.
Yeah. But you're on a team that was lacking every department. So as a tight end, you should have killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like you were getting outplayed by receivers and you were getting outshadowed. So what's really gonna happen this year when you're outshadowed by really talented receivers? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they're gonna be the fifth option. You know what I'm saying? So I don't expect a lot from him anyway. But it's always good to have somebody out there that's going to catch the ball, and you know, like I've heard in OTAs, he was dropping some passes. I mean, like, that can't be done. That's a drive killer. That's a mood killer. You feel me? You have a young quarterback,
yep.
Man. Give him a chance to succeed. So, I mean, as for that though, but I'm gonna tip my hat to Joe Douglas, man. Anybody who can say otherwise, I sure hope I hear your opinion tonight. But how can you be mad what Joe Douglas has done so thus far? Go ahead.
But you can't be. No, you can't be. Like, listen, this is, like I said, your off season goes from, what, the end of last year till training camp. That's when you say, what is our total, what is our, all the pieces to our puzzle? What are our final pieces here? And now we're finally seeing what they are with, what, a month left till training camp. But the question I have for you is, you know, Joe Douglas, he evaluates all the contracts. He says, okay, listen, this is the value I think you have. This is what we want to pay you, and let's talk business. They did it with Jamison Crowder. It worked. But now the question is, what do you do with George Fant? Now, are you going to be paying him $8.5 million as a backup? Or do you say, hey, listen, man, you're going to come in to compete for a starting job. We know you're not going to win it because Morgan Moses is a better player. and we want to talk. We want to talk shop. We want to see if we can renegotiate or restructure. Do you think the Jets take that approach? Because George Fant probably be like, you know what, screw off. I ain't going to do it.
I mean, I wouldn't blame them either. I'm not taking a pay cut. But at the same time, if they did, if they paid them the $8 million, he's a free agent next year. And Tyson, I really think the deal is less than that, though. Are you sure he's getting $8 million this year?
$8.5 million. I'm pretty sure.
Oh wow! I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. I really be honest with you. Under a tight situation, I probably would say, yo, force the issue. But I really wouldn't force the issue because you have a quality backup. Like you have a quality swing. You have a quality swing tackle that you can also, you know, add to the line as an extra as a blocking tight end, which he's done before. So I know that it's a lot to give. It's a lot to pay somebody. We're not hurting cap money. You know, I mean, maybe he can restructure his deal, but you know, I mean, but I don't see him taking a major pay cut. You know what I'm saying? He'll walk and go somewhere else and get, you know, I mean, he might not get more money, but it's just a point of respect. You know what I'm saying? So why, you know, like everyone with our team wants to always attract. Let's not subtract talent. Let's, you know, offensive line. You know, like Beckton has not shown that. You know what I'm saying? He's right now at this point that we can depend on him the whole season. So he's a monster when he's out there. But a best, you know, your best ability is availability, correct? So if I don't say make that move, man. I'm just saying that, you know, hold tight. Let's get the training camp. Let's get this done because, like I said, you don't want to put a left guard in or a right guard in that can't hold a job and get your little quarterback smacked in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, have one of them games where he's just on his back the whole game. You don't want that. So let's, you know, a certain position on the offensive line. I don't want the third best. I'll take my second best. I'll be cool with that. I don't want the third, the fourth guys that we picked up off the street protecting my young quarterback. I don't. I think that we do that. I think it becomes a bigger issue, becomes a bigger problem, and then we can lead to him getting injured or anything else like that. No, don't do that.
All right. So we went over tight ends. We went over obviously went over the offensive line. Now the running backs, I'm super excited about, dude. I think they have a good versatile group. They have a couple explosive guys. They all can catch the ball in the backfield, which is an enormous plus, especially in this offense. So if you look at offensive line, good. You know, the tight ends, they have a couple guys that can block, which is good. What are your thoughts on the running back group, man? Do you think they're done there? Do you think they still look, maybe they look at any, like, you know, any training camp cuts? Or do you feel comfortable with the running back room they have right now?
I'll be honest. I'm comfortable with what we got right now. I really do. I think we got a little bit of everything. We got speed. We got power. We got guys that are great in the open field. We got guys that can catch the ball at the backfield. I think that we can attack. A lot of the guys that we have are really one-cut guys and up the field. We have shifty guys. So I think we have enough. I don't want to bring in another running back. I really don't. I don't think that we need to. I think that if somebody – I don't even know anybody that would break loose and I would say, okay, we really need that guy to improve us. You know what I'm saying? I think we have everything we need. I really do. So I'm comfortable with our running backs right now. What about yourself? What do you think?
No, I'm good right now. Like I said, if the one thing that will intrigue me, and I know that they're going to use Wesco in this role, which is whatever, but I'm really intrigued if a fullback somewhere along during training camp gets cut elsewhere, because I know that's a piece that LaFleur, like, they're used to that in San Francisco. They want that, you know, that bulldozer guy, the guy that can, you know, set the, you know, bull open some holes so your running backs can follow him, you know, the goal line stuff, all those different things. So I'm curious if they make a move for one of them at some point during training camp, because that's just what it seems like what their history is. But again, we don't know truly what Mike LaFleur's offense is. And then you look at the wide receivers, and that to me is like, it's impossible to not be excited, man. Like, the thing is, well, it's twofold. First of all, we're used to such shitty wide receiver play and being barren to position that when we get one good one, we're doing cartwheels. And now we have like four or five good ones, man. And it's like, you look
absolutely
at it, it's impossible not to be excited. You get these guys in space, and again, you have a good mix. You have the veteran guy in Crowder, you got Corey Davis, you have the young guns and Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims. You got a guy like Braxton Berrios who's, you know, scratching and clawing for playing time. So dude, it's just a lot, there's like endless potential there.
Absolutely. And I'm excited about what we have. Like I said, man, it's the first time in a long time that I say that we really have something that could really be something different. And I'm comfortable with it. Like, it's been a long time coming, man. It's been a long time where I can really come out and say that I'm excited about what we have. I'm content with the players that we have. I'm able to see what he's seeing. I mean, you know, we have something that could actually really be good for us, man. And that's the problem with being patient, man. You know, I'm we have to be a little bit patient. You know, we I know it's hard because we're so used to being in a situation that we don't, you know, we don't put a good a product. You know what I'm saying? We're lacking in so many areas. But right now, I mean, the only really dying pressure need that I think that we need really is a cornerback, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, or a tight end. So, and that's not a pressing, dying need because we have young guys that, you know, that fits the culture scheme. So I'm okay with that as well. But at the same time, I'm comfortable with what, you know, what they're trying to do. I think that, you know, we get so comfortable with us not doing, you know, us being a team that always needs something, that always lacking in a certain area, doesn't have this and doesn't have that. And I think that for the first time in a long time that we actually have something, we have some really quality players in the building that, you know, we can actually, you know, see an NFL offense, a modern offense where our coach adjusts us and, you know, he makes adjustments during games. He's scheming for a team's weakness. You know, I'm sorry, man. We're going to a four wide receiver set. I'm sorry. Who are you going to cover, bro? There's no team with four solid cornerbacks, man. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, our slot players and our outside receivers are going to be dangerous. You know what I'm saying? I'm truly excited about what we have right now. I'm really liking it. I think that, you know, we really have a chance to be successful this year. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that, you know, that are going to sleep on us and get hit in the mouth. I really believe that. I think that it's going to depend on what our young quarterback does in his development, but this kid is working, man. This kid really is working. And the thing about it is, man, I don't know if you've been, like, looking at the clips, man. This kid throws the prettiest ball, bro. I mean, he throws a beautiful spiral. So I'm excited, Tyson. I can say that, man. I really am. I'm looking forward to training camp. I'm looking forward to preseason. And I'm looking forward to us being down in Carolina, man, you know, knocking down some doors, you know what I'm saying?
So you kind of touched on Zach Wilson, but I want to go into that just a little bit more, though. So we covered all position players, and then it comes down to the quarterback. And, you know, you're giving him a much improved offensive line. Of course, there'll be some, you know, some growing pains early on as they all get on the same page, establish chemistry, understand the play calling, understand the scheme, understand like the blitz pickups or anything else. But the offensive line should be pretty solidified when you have the veteran guys there. You have the wide receiver is going to be a strength, running backs are going to be a strength. So now here you go with your rookie quarterback in what's supposed to be a quarterback friendly offense. Get rid of the ball fast. You know, pound the ball a lot of play action pass. What are realistic expectations for Zach Wilson in year one?
For my opinion, man, I think the kid's going to have a really good season. I think that if he can stay healthy and
but what does that mean, though? What does good season mean?
I'm going to say 2,800 yards to 3,000. I'm going to say 24 touchdowns to like 7 interceptions, something like that.
You say 7 interceptions?
Yeah.
What the?
I mean, he's going to make some mistakes, but yeah, he's going to be well. I really think.
Well, apparently, he's only going to make 7 mistakes.
Hey, listen. I mean, that's a good thing. I think what they do with this offense, man, is they really scheme. Like Tyson, we're not used to guys getting schemed open. Like we're not used to receivers being wide open. I was looking a lot of like San Francisco's like, you know, offenses, just the offense and their defense, just to get a feel of what we, you know, because we don't know what to expect. And I think that his brother. I think what our coach, our offense, our OC is going to do is take a little bit from San Francisco, a little bit from Green Bay, and kind of mix it together. But in San Francisco, man, you got guys that are wide open. Like, you know what I'm saying? Easy reads, man, you know what I'm saying? Putting guys in motion so you can basically see what the defense has to expose their hand. And I love that for a rookie quarterback. I really do. And I think that, you know what I'm saying, you know, he's going to have his growing pain. He's going to make some mistakes. But I think when you start scheming guys open and you got guys that are, you know, that are not throwing in tight windows all the time, and I think they're going to attack, man. So I'm looking forward to it. What do you think? What numbers are you thinking for him, bro?
He's going to throw more than 7 interceptions, I think. I agree with you. I think they're going to try to take as much pressure off him as possible. I think they're going to do a lot of, you know, running the ball, you know, like I said, you know, play action pass, screen passes, let them take a couple shots down the field. But when they see the defense is biting, I just think they're going to be, I'm not going to say ball control, but they're going to just keep him just, don't not make him feel like he's got to play hero football. You know what I mean? Like where he feels like the world's on his shoulders. He's got to make all these big time throws, all these big time. You know, like he's got to bring the sizzle every week. I think they're going to try to limit that for him, which would be a good thing. So I agree with it. The numbers, you probably see like, what, 2,800, 3,000 yards, maybe 20. I kind of agree, maybe 24 touchdowns, like 15 interceptions or something like that. I can see that. I think he's going to have a solid season. I'm not right now going to be on these where saying he's going to be rookie of the year and all this other shit. I think there's just – you kind of want to let see it play out because there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of new pieces too. It's like if he was coming into an already established offense with all these guys already played together before, I think it would be a lot easier for him. But everything is new, man. Like, he's new. Offensive line pieces are new. Receivers are new. Running backs are new. Offense is new. Coaches are new. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many new things. That newness, I think, takes time to gel and get, you know, in symmetry. And that would probably take, what, 4, 5, 6 games to do. So during that time, I'm not really sure what to expect. But I think towards the middle and end of the season, we could see some very good football. You know, and, you know, like, Kevin and I are doing a lot of videos. And the one thing is, the Jets, the benefit they have the early part of the season is the unknown. Nobody knows what to expect from them because nobody's seen them do anything. So you're going to catch everybody by surprise the first few weeks of the season because we're unveiling an offense and a player like in Zach Wilson that nobody knows what he is. So then it's like you get those 4 or 5 weeks to surprise people, and then you got to adjust because they're going to adjust. So I'm fascinated by it, dude. I'm excited. I'm encouraged. But, like, to me, like, people are saying this is going to be a top 15 offense, top 13 offense.
No,
I don't see it. I think if there's going to be a strength to this offense, while I love all the receivers like that, I think the Jets are going to make a commitment to the running game, dude. I really think so. And that will set up the passing game. But, you know, you can see a rushing offense that's probably, what, 14, 15, you know, 10, 12 in that range. And then maybe your passing offense, like, 23. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I think it's going to be. But I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think they'll be competitive. I think they will coach. They're not going to get manhandled. But, you know, I just think I try to keep it more realistic instead of just starting to throw out saying, like, we're going to have 3 Pro Bowlers and all this other shit. Like, it's just – there's a lot of new moving parts for me.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think that, man, you know, I'm going to say between 15 and 20 in offense. And that's a vast improvement of what we had the last –
Yeah, we had the worst offensive football the last 2 years.
Exactly. So I think that being able to sort of run the football, I think with our line, man, you know, we geared to just, you know what I'm saying, run down somebody's fucking throat, and I want to do that. I think that, you know, you kind of keep that kind of mentality from my coach. Like, look, we're going to punch you in the face until you can't take no more. You know what I'm saying? Actually, you know, you're a cage fighter. You already know, man. Like, yo. Like, if I can keep getting away with it, I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? If you're not going to protect these leg kicks, I'm going to kick your shit till I break it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think that if we can run the ball really good, and then, you know what I'm saying, I think some games will pass more. I just think that, you know, like, the great thing with them, man, is they have a passing coordinator. They have a run game coordinator. It's stuff that we haven't had before, and I think that you have
they got a quarterback coach. Shit.
Exactly. Bro, what are those? What is that? You know what I'm saying? Everyone keeps saying, like, oh, one thing that we alluded to as well, we've been overlooking. I really hope we get a veteran quarterback in. I want Foles. I think that'll be great. You know what I'm saying? I think getting Foles in the building will be great for us. But I also think that you got to get a veteran in the building, bro. You have to, man. I just think that you can't keep, you know, I think that there are a couple of guys that actually want it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be honest, I didn't want Hoyer anyway, bro. I really didn't, bro. I didn't want Hoyer. You know what I'm saying? I kind of want Foles. I didn't want the kid from San Francisco. I didn't want him as well either. I wouldn't mind keeping Joe Flacco, somebody like that, just because, you know, somebody can come in, get it done, especially kind of what was the we have. But I definitely wouldn't mind bringing in, my man. So I'm looking at it like, man, like that's like 3 things that we need. And as a Jet fan, anybody who's a Jet fan knows this, bro. Like, when in the last 4 or 5 years, we can say, oh, we only need 1 thing or 2 things. You can't even say that. We can't even think like that. It hasn't been that process. It's been every year that we need, oh, we need 7, 8 things or 10 things. Or, you know, my favorite saying, oh, bro, you can't fix everything in 1 off season. I mean, because we had so many holes, but actually he damn near did. He damn near fixed his whole, you know, a lot of, you know, then on top of that, we have depth. You know what I'm saying? It's something that we haven't had. I mean, you know.
Well, you look at where we've come from and where we are. And it's like the Jets were a complete clusterfuck for 2 years. I mean, we literally watched Sam Darnold get destroyed firsthand week in and week out. And they said, okay, listen, did this team learn their lessons and how are they going to handle their offense and their quarterback going forward? So what did they do? They went out, they upgraded their offensive line. They upgraded the running back room, and they upgraded the wide receiver group, and then they brought the quarterback in. And they arguably hired a competent offensive coordinator who's got rhyme or reason of what he's doing. They have, like you said, a passing game coordinator, a run game coordinator, a quarterback coach. We don't know if it's going to work out or not, but the Jets' blueprint on paper is significantly better than anything they've done the last 3 years. It's not even close. It's like apples and oranges where Sam Darnold was and where this team was, and then this year, Zach Wilson, year one. If you had to write a blueprint down of saying, okay, listen, I want to draft a young quarterback. What is my best way to protect him and get him to have a comfortable year one where we see a lot of progress? Offensive line, running game, offensive-friendly, quarterback-friendly offense, all these different things. The Jets are checking a lot of boxes, dude. Like I said, listen, there's no guarantee it's going to work out. But you think what they've learned some lessons that Joe Douglas is actually flexing a little bit, saying, you know what, I know what I'm doing. And it makes you wonder even more how much power that clown had last year in Adam Gase, because it just seems like, Douglas, now that he has the ability to put his fingerprints all over this roster, it's a significant difference. So
absolutely,
to me, I feel comfortable. I feel excited. I'm completely optimistic. I'm not talking playoffs or nothing like that, but I'm saying, you know what? Anybody that asks me, I'm saying, you know what? This team can win 6, 7, 8 games, maybe even 9, but I'm staying in 6 or 7. And that's a good thing, man. We were one of the worst teams in football. To take that big of a step with a first-year head coach and a first-year quarterback is a good thing. The whole thing is, on the offense, you want to see them scheme, do the things that you said. I want to see them game plan to take advantage of mismatches. You want to see that. Most importantly, Tyrone, you want to see in-game adjustments. When the shit's hitting the fan, you change it. You don't keep calling the same goddamn plays if they aren't working. You modify stuff. If your quarterback is struggling, find ways to get him back in sync. Don't keep forcing plays down his throat that he can't do. And then by December, late November, December, you want to see this team start to say, okay, listen, you know what? I see where we're going now. And in 2022, we're going to take a big step.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing you're going to love the most. You got to look at the situation to where, we were really, really in a bad situation to where we really wasn't growing as a team. We had a really, really bad coach. Bad everything. And to be able to be in a position to where I can say, okay, I really see Jody's plan. I like his plan. I like what he's done. And I think flexing ain't even a word, man. I think he just out here showing the fuck off, bro. Look, man, I this is what I do, baby. This is what I do. I'm gonna keep doing this, man. I'm gonna keep bringing this kind of energy, man. Listen, can you imagine, Tyson, next year, a first, 2 seconds, bro. Listen.
I'm excited about next year with the draft picks and the cash base. I'm excited about this year when the Jets are actually going to line up NFL caliber receivers that can actually run routes and be explosive and catch the ball and get yards after the catch. We actually have playmakers on offense or even Michael Carter coming out of backfield. There's so many things that's exciting. We were watching such bad. Dude, we were watching Frank fucking Gore last year. How bad that was?
Yeah.
We're going from a 1970s offense last year to we're finally returning to the NFL. To have a quarterback that can run around, make big time throws, and spread the field, and we have guys with some speed. It's gonna be we found football again. We're actually finding football again.
Bro, we watched Frank Gore get 20 carries, bro. We watched Frank Gore get 20, 30 carries, bro.
But the play calling, dude. The play calling. Primetime and I, we had a goddamn bingo game. I was drunk by the second quarter because all the first down running plays. And the second down, it was first and 10 run, second and 8 run, third and long, incomplete pass, punt. I was hammered by the second quarter.
Well, I'm going to say this right here, and I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are. I actually think that
I'm optimistic. I'm just not throwing out Pro Bowl for every guy in the team.
I'm not going to say Pro Bowl, but I'm definitely going to say, man, I'm looking at 8 to 10 wins, bro. I'm definitely looking at that, bro.
10 wins?
Yeah, 8 to 10. Yeah, I'm definitely looking at that, bro. I'm definitely looking at that. I'm definitely drinking the Kool-Aid right now. I'm definitely.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just, I'm excited about that. I mean, I don't know. I really feel that we're gonna be sneaky good, man. Like I was in FedEx yesterday, and I gave the guy, he's a Jeff fan too, so I gave him the information. He's supposed to call in tonight, but I told him, if not, just listen to it. But I was telling them, bro, I was like, yo, I think we're going to be sneaky good, bro. I'm not even playing. I really feel like we're going to be sneaky good, and I love that, man. I'm excited. And for a long time, man, we had nothing to be excited about. We actually have something to be excited about. Not only are you our rookie quarterback, and I think everybody's on board now, like, you know what I'm saying, they're over the Sam stuff, and I wish Sam nothing but the best. But the first game of the season, bro, I hope you lose. Like, you know what I'm saying? I hope you lose bad, like, for real. I'm just being honest with you. Like, I hope we go out there and beat the best right. South Carolina ass.
So let's bring on primetime. Yeah. So primetime, you've now listened to me and Tyrone break down the offense, and I'm sure there's some point you completely disagree with both of us. So let's hear your thoughts.
Hold on. After all that exposure I got us on the Jet social media account, that's the intro I get? All right. That's okay.
What's up, Primetime? Big home, man.
I'm just saying. I mean, they I'm sure they combed through a lot of videos. You know, they had a lot of options for who they could have chosen. So, you know, I'm very humbled by it. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, here we go. Jesus. You know what the sad thing is? I already got to deal with one fucking Hollywood. Now I got Primetime's going to a whole nother level of, like, I got two complete prima donnas to deal with. And here I am, just some humble-ass fan trying to make a fucking, have a show here. And,
you're the legend, man. You're the legend.
I'm not Jets PR video.
Yo, I'm just being real with you, Primetime. Don't feel bad, man. They come for me, too. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, bro, because you know what? I'm going to be real with you. Tyson had to help me deal with that shit, bro, because I was getting mad, bro. Like, yo, hold on, bro. Like, watch your mouth, bro. Like, I would do something to you, bro. Like, don't do that. And Tyson's like, look, man, it comes with it. Just be all right. Just ignore it.
I get attacked all the time.
Like, yo, I had to learn, bro. Like,
you
know, you know what's so crazy, bro, is like, a lot of people don't understand, bro. I was just Tyrone from Virginia, bro. I was a regular damn caller. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I'd be forgetting them on the show. Like, bro, like, you know, like, I never got, like, I got heat as a caller, and I didn't give two shits. Now, you know, I'm on the show on a regular basis, so it's like, okay, hold on, man, listen, okay. Hey, you know, I have your opinion, it's fine. My opinion is my opinion. I'm not, you know, I don't work for
anybody. But now we got to go with
how I feel.
And I'll definitely share some objections to some of your opinions, just considering the fact that you predicted that we're going to have more wins than Zach Wilson interceptions. So I'm going to say that was going to be slightly off on that.
Okay, if all I said, and that's all you can pick out, I'm good with that, pal. You good with that?
Well,
I got
a few things. So, you know, even the yardage total, you know, and my expectations aren't really that high for Zach Wilson. I think there's going to be a big learning curve just going from the talent level that he faced at BYU to the NFL level. But the yardage total, I mean, 17-game schedule, assuming he plays all 17 games, I mean, if we're talking 2,800 yards, that's 164 a game. So I'd like to think that, you know, we're aiming a little bit higher than that. You know, I think even in some games where we're trailing, hopefully, you know, this coaching staff is actually going to let him swing it a little bit. So, you know, I'd like to think the yardage total is going to be a little bit higher. Interception total, I'm sure, is going to be higher. Again, it just comes with the territory, being a rookie. And we expect
Evan,
that. You know?
Jeez.
What's that?
He said 7 interceptions. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's like Chad Pennington territory. And he did that technically in year 3.
I can dream, but let me camera back on what you said a moment ago, though. But listen, though, like, if you're looking at it, like, you know, Zach, it's going to be a learning curve, right? Because, you know, the talent, yo, but what he just got infused with a lot better receivers than he's ever played with. So you don't think that he can play better with a better supporting cast? Because BYU didn't really have any stars there. He got legitimate, really great players around him. Imagine what he could have done at BYU with Elijah there, bro. Imagine what he could have did with Carter there, bro. Imagine what he could have done with those kind of players. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you got to look at it works both ways.
I think the pieces that he has, the weapons, the coaching staff, they're going to be able to scheme guys open. I think all of that's going to help uplift him. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, to that extent, I like it. But just the speed of the game, adjusting to the NFL speed, I think there's always going to be a learning curve with that. You know, learning a new offense, going through your progressions, you know, learning how to improv and, you know, make plays on the run. You know, there's just certain things that NFL speed, you know, you need probably a full offseason after you experience it to really adapt. So week by week, yeah, you want to see that gradual progress. But, you know, certain things he's probably going to need a full offseason to really work on.
But I'm still more comfortable with this year, with actually having an OTA, actually having a training camp, actually having preseason, man. That might ramp it up a little bit too. Now, I'd be more concerned if it was last year and not being able to have any, you know, not really having the things that he needed to be successful. But I just think that, you know, I don't know, man. I'm honestly, you know, I keep telling Tyson this, I really got a feeling we're going to be stinky good, man. So, prompt, I got the most important question.
Clearly, yeah,
how you feel about how you feel about the Bosa signing, bro?
I love that, man, just because, again, the trickle-down effect, what it does for the depth, assuming that they are going to keep Fantier in, you know, a swing tackle role. And, you know, when you go with your jumbo sets and you got Fant and Moses on the right side with Vera Tucker and Becton on the left, I mean, you're talking about some big boys there. So, you know, you want to have that heavy ground-and-pound offense to be able to set up your play-action fakes and really set Dak Wilson up for success. I mean, that's a great signing. And one thing that you guys haven't mentioned, I'm pretty sure it might be five, maybe six seasons in a row where he has started all 16 games. I'm pretty sure it's five seasons in a row. So, I mean, just the, you know, availability, like you keep saying, you know, that's the most important thing. And the fact that he's always out there, you can depend on him, that's huge. So I love the trickle-down effect. I love the fact that we have some depth now. You know, they ended up keeping both, you know, Van Roten and Alex Lewis on the interior. So, you know, across the offensive line, you can kind of feel comfortable with the depth that you were able to build. And I was one of the first people early in the offseason, Tyson remembers. I mean, I was ripping some of the moves that Joe Douglas was making early on, but, you know, it all worked out. He went pretty heavy on Vera Tucker at guard, and, you know, you got a nice building block there going forward. And, you know, at least for the short term between Moses and Fant and some of the guys you got at right guard, you know, you feel pretty comfortable with it.
It's all about having patience.
So, a problem, Tyler, another question I got for you, man.
I mean, yeah, it's just those, man. Overreactions in April, May. All those overreactions, April,
nah,
May.
Nah,
just
nah,
the sky
nah,
is
nah,
falling
nah,
and burning shit down.
Well, let's
wait
just
see
it all on the field first. I'm still keeping everything in perspective. I still want to see it all on the field. This is, again, totally unknowns as far as, you know, our GM. I like the direction. I like the long-term thinking, but still completely unknown. Last year's draft class, completely unknown. Head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback. All of it's completely unknown. It's exciting that they, you know, like I just said this in the video I did earlier, it's exciting that they get to learn and grow together with a completely blank slate from the beginning. So that's like the most important thing. But it's going to be a roller coaster this year. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs. So I'm just trying to, you know, keep everything in perspective.
Well, Prof, what I want to ask you, is this the one thing that you think we need right now, the one thing that we're lacking, you know, that's still a weakness, but other than – cornerback.
Well, yeah, I was saying, I'm staying away from the defense. You know, I was a little surprised that, you know, I'm not as satisfied as you guys are, at least at, you know, at running back and tight end. Mainly tight end. Just
Ty
because,
Johnson.
No, I like Ty Johnson. You know, I think he's a versatile
definitely
player.
Josh
clearly
Adams.
I don't mind Josh Adams. I don't like the school that he went to.
And
but,
you definitely,
you know,
hate Michael
speed.
Piron.
Do not say it.
I
don't
mean,
say it.
I almost feel like I told you 2 weeks ago, I almost feel like I have to become a Piron fan now because he makes my shotguns look better.
Well, absolutely. But I'm going to say this right here. I like Ty Johnson and Carter. You know, with Piron, I don't know what kind of role they're going to find for him, if he's still a fit for what they're trying to do.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We still got Coleman, yeah, so we still – You know, we still, bro, listen, I think we're going to be all right with running back, man. I mean, and let me ask you a question, though. Like, honestly, how many running backs do you think they keep? I mean, that's probably the biggest question I'm wondering. Like, how many will they keep?
Well, at least three plus a fullback. And, you know, maybe
okay.
If, you know, Ty Johnson and P. Ryan are both looking really good in camp, maybe you consider keeping four. Although I think, you know, you're probably going to look to maybe keep an extra receiver or offensive line or, you know, maybe some young corners, you know, before you keep an extra running back. But, you know, I just think it's going to be a backfield by committee approach based on what we've seen in San Francisco. And, you know, based on the wide zone blocking and everything that they do, it's important for, you know, the back to be able to get outside quick. I don't know if that, you know, fits what P. Ryan does. I mean, maybe a full off season, he was able to work on conditioning, you know, pick up some speed a little bit. But, you know, just based on last year, you know, just the eye test, it seemed like, you know, Ty Johnson, Josh Adams, they hit the hole much faster. They got to the outside much faster. And I think the yards per carry even showed it. So I'm excited to see what those guys could do. And I'm very excited to see what Michael Carter can do. You know, the shelf life for running backs is usually pretty short. So, you know, I'd like to get him plenty of wear early on. You know, he's young, he's explosive, he can catch the ball. I think he's a home run hitter waiting to happen. So I'd like to see him get plenty of work. And then, you know, it all depends on what you get out of Tevin Coleman also, whether or not he's healthy. You know, he played 8 games last year, didn't really do a whole lot. If you get the old Tevin Coleman from Atlanta, you know, that's an effective back, you know, a nice 1-2 punch there with him and Carter. But if he's not healthy, then, you know, I think you got to look somewhere else. And you said there's nobody out there, but Duke Johnson, he's available. You know, he's had 5 40-plus catch seasons, great weapon out of the backfield. I'd certainly look to bring him in.
But ain't Carter and Ty Johnson basically Duke Johnson? I mean, ain't that basically, you know what I'm saying, the same player? Like, you know what I'm saying? You want 3 of the same players in the backfield? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's what scares me. You know what I'm saying? Like to me, I like the versatility of having different kind of backs. I think Ty and Carter are probably the same kind of back, you know, with the speed and the shiftiness, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think actually to me, I think it's between Ty and Carter who's going to be our starting running back. And I think they might lean with Carter. I just think the speed, you can't coach speed, man. You can't coach one cut and, you know, and do that. I think the offensive line going to make some big-ass holes. And these guys are going to be able to go. You know what I'm saying? I like that, man. I like getting on the outside. I like, you know, being a threat out the backfield. I think it's a safety blanket for a young quarterback. I think that having motion and getting guys open, I think that's going to be beautiful. And I think, you know, we're going to attack teams and take advantage of their weaknesses. And I think that we haven't had that in a while. I think that we had a coach that thought he was too smart for, you know, for anybody else. So I think that being able to do that and attack teams, you know, in their weakest points is definitely going to make us a lot better. So,
all right, so what we'll do is we will go to the callers. We're going to stick to just the offense tonight because we'll do defense next week. We're going to go to Dan. Dan, what's up, man?
What's up, Dan? How are you, Beach?
You. Yo, man, first off, primetime. Wow, man. Kudos, dude. Holy smokes. I saw you on the website. I'm like, I know that guy.
I'm humbled by it, man. I'm honored to be on there.
The,
know,
only, the only
guy.
Thing, you know, they kind of got it wrong because one thing was missing. You doing a shotgun, like with one of them Trulies, man. That would have been the staple of the whole thing. I'm like, ah, that's my guy. He got it right.
I'm just saying, it was surprising they threw an F-bomb in there. So good social media. Well done.
Hey man, it's a new era, and that's why, man. I'm super excited, man. This whole entire thing, it's legit. Like this whole entire hype is straight up legit. It's not friggin' gassing up people, thinking that we might be something that we're not, dude. From the top all the way down, dude. From the GM to the owner, this owner. I don't know what happened to him over there in England. I have no idea, but he seems like a brand new person. Him, the media. Person just sending out everything from Twitter, Instagram. Then you got our new coaches. Dude, like we want the Jets playing every Sunday, even in the summer. That's how hyped I am right now. 17 games, to me, that's not enough. Give me 25 games with this new leader, man, out of the pack. I love what they're doing. The only thing is I'm just surprised we haven't gotten a veteran quarterback right now just to help Zach through this whole entire thing. Honestly, I don't know why everyone's shitting on Foles, man. I don't get it. Like, I'll post, like, a picture of Foles, and they're like, oh, no, not that fucking guy. No way. It's like as if this guy's some sort of freaking Browning Nagel. This guy won a Super Bowl. And, again, he's not coming in for him to start like the Jaguars signed him for, the Bears signed him for. Nah, he's just a backup. It's just a guy to – help out a young quarterback, just like McCown did, just like that. But, damn, man, like, no one wants them. Do you guys have some insight on that as to why fans want absolutely no part of Foles?
Well, a lot of people are saying that we are overvaluing the impact of a veteran quarterback. Dan, I'm completely with you, dude. I've been saying this shit for months. Like, I think it's a no-brainer for so many reasons. And most importantly is, just say, God forbid, Zach Wilson gets banged up or he's struggling or whatever else. You want to have a guy that can come in and keep the offense moving, keep everybody rolling, keep your team competitive. Like that plays, that's dividends alone. But I'm completely with you, dude. I don't you know, I'd like to have a guy that can help him study, help him do film work, help him be like another set of eyes on the sideline, you know, just being a mentor in the film room, all this stuff, dude. I think it's just, it's worth it, man. Like, I think Tyrone agrees. I mean, Primetime, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all about giving James Morgan a chance to earn the backup job in camp, but he's got to actually earn it. So to, you know, to come into camp with just him and Mike White competing for that backup spot, I think is foolish. And like you said, you know, if Zach Wilson were to go down for a couple weeks, I don't think we have any faith in James Morgan going out there and being ready to play realistically at this stage in his career. So it makes all the sense in the world. And a lot of guys that we've been talking about, Denzel Mims, Keelan Cole, Michael Carter, possibly Herndon, they all might be rolling a lot with the second team early in camp. So if we want those guys really getting caught up to speed, you know, getting a realistic evaluation in camp, have a quarterback that can actually run the offense.
And
you know what, I think we're all – yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I just want to say – I just want to touch him. I said I don't want Morgan as our second quarterback. I just think that, you know, like we have a chance to have a young quarterback and grow. And like Tyson, anything that happens to him – you know, having a quality backup in. We've been saying this for weeks. I mean, why not have a guy in that, you know, just winning the Super Bowl, man, takes a lot. And being able to come in and talk to a guy who won a Super Bowl, who competed at the highest level, you know what I'm saying, in the NFL, you know what I'm saying, that's what you want. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, no, you bring up valid points. I just feel like, you know what, I think we're all onto something. I think we all have amazing perspective on that. And I think Joe Douglas probably taken a page out of Parcells' in the 98 offseason. Remember in the 98 offseason, our backup quarterback to Glenn Foley was Scott Zolak. That was Parcells' boy. But towards the end of preseason, Testaverde shook free. And he's like, all right, you know what? I got an upgrade on a backup quarterback, and he did it. I think that's probably the card that Douglas wants to do. He doesn't want to over-trade and over, like, pay for a guy like Foles. But I'm like, why even take that chance? I mean, I guess that's the only really legit veteran that's out there that might be, you know, able to shake loose or something like that.
At this stage now, yeah, Foles might be the only option. But, I mean, early in the offseason, yeah, who is it? Nick Mullins and Berthard, yet, you know, the guys from San Francisco that knew the offense. So you would think if they were in the market for a backup quarterback, one of those guys would have, you know, been brought in at some point.
Obviously they were thinking about it because they had Hoyer in the building. So they obviously were considering something. I guess they just – I don't know. It's weird, man. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, you can wait during training camps like this. But to me, it's like – you know, like, it's almost like being penny-wise and dollar-foolish. Like, to me, Foles is worth the money, and he's under contract for next year too. So it's a two-year deal. It's like it's – you have continuity. You can learn the offense. It's just – I don't know, man. To me, it just makes sense. I don't know why it's – people find it so ludicrous.
No, I don't either. Man, like, you touched on – like you touched on, Tyson, it's one of those things that you and I and everyone is sick and tired of losing games and not being competitive. If Zach Wilson goes down, you definitely don't want to skip a beat. You want to be able to at least have a chance. You're 3-3, and Zach Wilson's down, God forbid, and he's not there to play the next game. You want someone competitive there. Dude, we spend so much on the offensive line. This isn't no dick-around freaking offense.
Here's a scenario for Tyrone was just, I mean, he might have had some Kool-Aid tonight, but Tyrone was just talking about winning 10 games this year. What if you're sitting here in late December and your team is whatever, say you're 7-8 or whatever like that, and then Zach Wilson goes down? Your season's on the line. Do you want to have your season on the line, James Morgan playing, or do you want to have a season on the line and having a veteran quarterback playing for you with a chance to make the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the backlash then? The backlash then if fucking we're in the hunt for playoff spot and fucking we don't have a backup quarterback?
Well, that white
kid. James Morgan.
I forgot what his name is. The number eight. No, not number eight. What's that? Yeah, it's like the third quarterback. But him playing.
Yeah, Mike White.
No, there's no way. There's no way that Joe would do that. There's no way. He learned his lesson about, 2 years ago when he had, two quarterbacks go down with Trevor Siemian and Sam, and then he's relegated to freaking Luke Falk. There's no way. I don't think he's just going to go into the season with completely inexperienced all the way in the backup. No way.
No, I totally agree. Dan, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Guys, have a great summer, and I'll touch base with you back on September, man. Have a great one, and see you guys at the games.
You too, man.
You too, man. Good.
Later.
All right, next up is our good friend Ephraim. Ephraim, what's up, man?
What's going on, bro?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're good.
You're good? Okay. How are you guys? Did you get your power back,
doing
Tyson?
Good, brother.
Yeah, dude, I was out for 3 hours yesterday. It was dying.
Jesus.
Brutal.
It is. And tomorrow's even worse, they say. But
yep.
It is what it is, as long as you have the AC running. How are you, Mr. Tyrone, sir?
Celebrity. See, Ephraim, listen, you gotta do the formal introductions. You have Hollywood Tyrone, and now you have bigger than ever primetime Kevin Sorkin. I mean, this is like two celebrities here. We're amongst royalty now. Like the pay checks are gonna be, the pay demands are ridiculous.
But you're the legend.
Not anymore, dude. This is Kevin wants his own intro music now. It's like Kevin's like, wait a minute. I want my own intro music. He wants his own segment. I mean, this is rough now.
Hey, listen. He got picked. Congratulations. He got onto the two segment. But
wasn't no accident. Wasn't no accident.
I think it was. You know what the fucked up thing is? It was clearly an accident. Because the motherfucker only made one video in the last 3 months. They caught that one. So it was clearly an accident.
Many videos up and two Jets videos up in the last week. I'm slowly coming on.
Yeah. Well, you're not working right now, so you got plenty of time.
Yeah, I'm just
no,
doing
but you, no, congratulations. Hey, you deserve it.
Thank you.
And big up Coach, man. I want to congratulate Coach. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations.
He had a good season,
man,
too, as a coach.
Yeah, good season. Yeah, and, you know, it was cool yesterday. You know, going back to my old high school, 15 years later, getting the coach was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying, bro. Congratulations on that, man. That's a big move, bro. I'm happy for you, brother.
So let's talk offense.
I sent you a message. You didn't respond, but it was all good, though. It's okay. Go ahead.
You know how to go on social media that much.
Whatever.
So it looks like Fant, if you it is $8.5 million. Salary, and he's right now 9.8 against the cap. So, however, it looks like if they cut him, he would only be 5.4 against the cap, and they would gain $4 million by cutting him if they wanted to cut him. So I think they have some leeway to renegotiate with him, because you can't have that guy. You know, based on over the cap, he's the fourth highest paid player on the team, which is unreal. I mean, he gets more than McGovern. So
the problem is, though, I mean, if you're only going to save, what's it, about $4.3 million if they cut him, I mean, you're probably investing almost that much, if not more, in a quality backup, assuming that is the priority.
You can negotiate, you can bring him down. You're not stuck paying him that much. I mean, if Crowder could do it, and I'm sure that he can do it as well.
But if I'm Fant, though, I would take the approach that, you know, if you release me, I'll be able to get at least $5 million on the open market.
That's if he's maybe if he's deemed that way. Moses only got three; he's a better player, you know. So you have to look at it that way. The only thing that, like you say, he can play multiple positions. He, from what I've read on him recently, he's also played tight end at some point. So you could bring him as a tight end just for blocking purposes if, you know, you want to be an extra blocker. So he has that a little bit of extra. So I'm sure there's going to be some sort of talks with him to reduce his salary. I mean, he gets a roster bonus and he gets a prorated bonus. So, you know, I just wonder how willing he'd be to
negotiate right now after just being replaced as a starter, assuming, you know, all offseason they were telling him that he was going to be the starter, and then, you know, this late they signed somebody.
Well,
I just don't know how willing
he'd be
to get some money back.
It depends if they can talk him into playing guard and become, you know, compete for the starting position as guard. He is very athletic, so for a lineman. So that option is there. You know, the guy, Douglas has been doing well up till now, so I'm going to have to wait and see what he does with him. Any move he makes with him, we'll know down the line. But I do believe back on the quarterback, backup quarterback, yeah, I think Foles would be the best option right now. In fact, the only option, really. But when you guys talked about the other guys, I think if Saleh and LaFleur really wanted Mullins or who's the other one, Befford, I think they would have. Joe would have pulled the trigger on that if they truly wanted him on one of those two on the team, because he did get that. What recently there was a defensive back, I think, that he picked up from San Francisco that he really wanted. He thought it was a, you know, he was grooming him, the safety, yeah. And so, and Joe pulled the trigger on that. So if they're talking to one another and it's a group effort, I think if they truly wanted one of these guys, I think they would have, Joe would have made every effort to try to bring him in. So I don't know if they were ever on the list to come in, but I kind of agree with you guys. Foles, you might have to, you know, trade a low draft pick, but you have him for 2 years, and you need to bring someone, a veteran, because what, you know, I think I brought this point up on the Monday show. What are you telling the team if they're playing well and you got nobody to come in to continue the progress? You brought in a veteran and defense, and Vinnie Curry. You brought the older guys in the secondary, and LaMarcus Joyner. So you brought some guys with some veteran experience to groom with the rookies. So, you know, these guys are playing hard. What do you tell them when you bring in a backup that has not played or has not enough, hasn't had a single snap in playing in an NFL game to come in? And you, and if you're doing good, like Tyson said, if you got a winning record, and all of a sudden, for God forbid, but Wilson hurts his shoulder, or he just, you know, he's not feeling 100%, or whatever, you're going to bring a rookie, and now you take the momentum away from the team, in essence. So, is he waiting for them to cut? Is he waiting for the Bears to cut him, and then he can get him on a cheaper deal or without giving up anything? I think you could part ways with a fourth or fifth rounder for him, and I think the Bears would take him. He's with the Bears now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would take him at any given time. Yeah, I don't know what his salary is, but I think the Jets could absorb it anyway. And I've read he's great in the locker room. He's really great in the locker room. All the players love him. So it's a win-win, in my opinion, to bring him in. As far as the team on an offensive level, I'm not gonna throw wins at you, but I could foresee them averaging around 25 to 27 points a game if the offense works as planned.
Holy shit! That'd be nice.
Yeah. I don't foresee that. I think they're gonna be
points a game with this.
That'd be top 10 offense. That'd be a top 10 offense, right?
No, you know, not the way they're scoring now. I mean, it's all offensive game, let's be honest. And the secondary, you know, you can't even touch anybody at the secondary. Receivers have free reign in the secondary. They want as many touchdowns as possible. But I could see that if they, you know, they're going to be a very aggressive offense. You could see that. They're going to be run heavy, too. I could see that as well. So, That would also bring down the attempts on passing for Wilson as well if they're going to run heavy. And I could foresee a low number. I would see the low double digits in interceptions, but I could see them passing a short, you know, short plays and let, you know, put these players in the position where, you know, what the yak, you know, after they catch, how much yards they get. Because all these guys they've been getting, they're all known for doing that, I think, except for Mims, I think. But all these other guys seem to are known for getting yards after the catch. So, you know, it 28 days, you know. We got 28 days before we go to camp. It's going to be interesting. to see. The running back, I could see a competition. I mean, even with Tevin Coleman, I mean, he's only $1 million. So, and he's only going to cost you, if you cut him, he's only going to cost you $400,000. So, if he doesn't make it, let's say, so you're not worried about some of these guys that they've signed, they're really low numbers that they've signed some of these guys. So, it's not like, you're stuck paying big money for some of these guys. So I just like the fact there's competition and all aspects of the, except for the quarterback, there's competition in every position for the most part.
No, it's exciting, man. I can't wait. I think we're all pretty excited. Afton, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Stay cool.
Have a good night, bro.
So, prime time, since you're obviously on the good graces with the Jets, you're now a celebrity. I mean, I'm not really sure why I'm on the show anymore, but there's two celebrities and just me. But since you're now a New York Jets celebrity, where's our credentials at?
I'm currently working on it, man. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a process. You know, there's, you know, certain people you got to try to connect with, and still working on it. Hey, man, listen, okay. You know, it's been a rough 2 years. You know, we had a lot of lows during the Adam Gase years. A lot of things were said. Some of it, you know, I definitely apologize for. I never meant it. We know that we love you guys. We're always there to support
you. But you didn't mean it? What?
Not all of it. I mean, some of it we were kind of mean.
What? I meant everything I said. What do you mean? Now, you're going to waffle now on all your hot takes? Now what is going on here now? You are a true celebrity. You are truly becoming you're Hollywood Part 2 now.
I'm trying to get the credentials done.
I didn't mean what I said.
I'm trying to show that we turn the page. You know, it's an enlightening.
We turn the page. We just spent an hour praising this organization, all these great things, but now all our credibility. We kept it real, and
so
now
so
you're
then,
saying
well,
I take
on.
Back
so,
what
so
I
then
said.
You didn't mean every, so then you didn't mean everything you said then. If you're praising the organization now, you know, clearly we said some things last year that, you know,
that were true.
May have touched a nerve here and there.
But they were true. The shoe fits, you got to wear it. Ain't my problem.
At the time, it was true, yeah.
Yeah, so what are you taking away? Why are you apologizing for it? They dug their hole. We buried them. What are you going to do about it?
She's just apologizing for being so mean.
What the fuck? Now it's just, what are we doing here? Tyrone, what are your thoughts on Kevin trying to apologize now?
I mean, you know, it's what Primetime does, man. He over here waffling, man. Waffle King.
Hold on. That's not a waffle.
Primetime to waffle.
That's the same thing. You know,
we had our past differences.
We didn't know each other eye over the last two years in the Adam Gase era. I'm excited to turn the page. Apologies if there were any hard feelings or, you know, anything that was said that maybe crossed the line. And we're excited about the future.
You know, this is where I want a soundbite. The Conor McGregor soundbite where he says, I want to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Nobody.
That's funny because that's on the queue, too. I'm working on some soundbites that's actually in there.
What the? This prime time is apologizing to people. What the hell are we doing here?
Oh, man.
This is a damn shame. We're going to go to Mike and Jerry.
Why is sideline access back or not?
Not when we're going to ruin our credibility. Like, we got to keep it real.
Okay.
I mean,
they know
what we're about.
Can't sell our soul when the price ain't cheap, man. We ain't doing it.
Let's not act like we're going to change our ways.
I think they know that.
We're not going back to the PG show, bro.
Nope.
We're not going back to that, bro. Like, this is
listen,
way more fun.
Time. Our rule is this. If it looks like a skunk and smells like a skunk, we're calling it a fucking skunk. And that's the way it's always going to be, man.
Yes,
we can't ever go back on that.
I don't want us to ever go back on that.
All right. So we're going to go to Mike in Jersey City. We haven't talked to Mike in a while. Mike, what's up, man?
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Mike?
How you guys?
So I just want to like go over. So I've kind of been out of the loop for a little bit. So we signed Moses, and I guess I just want to like clarify. So he's going right. We got oh my God, why am I Becton on the left, AVT on the left, right? Does McGovern goes to right guard?
McGovern's still your center. And then right now at right guard,
okay, so what
you brought
Van
Roten
right?
back, you got Alex Lewis back, you got Cameron Clark, and you got Dan Feeney. So all four of those guys are probably
right,
right guard. Okay, so what are you guys thinking is going to end up happening as the season goes on? Because I think Clark is kind of, I mean, from everything I'm hearing, he's, you know, going to be making a name for himself. Well, I mean, he's a really good option. But Alex Lewis as well. Do you think that's gonna be a fighting position as time goes on, or
that's gonna be a training camp battle? I think that, you know what I'm saying, you know, you got three guys there, but what if someone else gets cut that's better than all the guys that we have right now? I mean, you know, so I think that position to go into training camp, I think it'll probably be decided probably towards the second preseason game, and you know, for the third dress rehearsal, I think that, you know, for the dress rehearsal we'll have our starter in there, but it kind of depends, you know. You can say anybody's going to look good, but when the pads come on, that's what you can determine. I think they want a certain mentality on the offensive line. We got a lot of big guys out there, so I think that for them to do that, you're going to have to earn it. But I think we got three guys that can actually compete, so it's not, you know, it's not just putting somebody in there that's not qualified. You know, we still got, what's my man name? Prime Time started last year. What is that kid? Got, huh?
Cameron Clark.
Right guard.
Yeah, Cameron Clark, Van Roten.
Van Roten. Yeah. We still got Van Roten as well, you know, competing for that position. So, I mean, it's going to be a dogfight, man. But I hope that, you know, like I said, man, that's the weakest thing we had last season on the offensive line was our guard play. Our guard play was really, really bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Really, really bad. And I don't think they're going to use Fant as a guard. I don't think Fant will be a good guard for us. You know what I'm saying? I think that him having him as a swing tackle or a third tight end to block, I think is really great. And then you throw some razzle dazzle in there, and you have him break out there and catch a little pass or whatever. So I mean, you know, we got options. Tyson.
Right.
No, I agree, dude. I completely agree. I'm hoping for Cam Clark, man. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping he.
Yeah, me too.
Because he had it. Everybody was so high on him last year, and then all of a sudden he was inactive all year, which is completely insane. But that's just like, dude, if that can happen, man, you have get three young guys starting on your offensive line, it'd be perfect.
Yep.
And then the second year, the rookie contract or less, even better.
Yep. Yep.
The other three things I wanted to tackle with you guys is I chimed in when you guys were, I think, on the phone with Dan and talking about, you know, backups. What are your position, like, okay, obviously the, like, Foles, right? That's the obvious choice. But in the event, like, I'm pretty sure RG3 is still a free agent. What if they traded, you know, through someone a very late? What if they threw someone a very late pick? Like, I'm thinking, like, I don't know. I looked at some contracts. You got McCowan over in Texas. Why not hit up the pass for Stidham, Jared Stidham, right? He's their third. They're not going to be using him this season. And I mean, the cap hit is absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Like, what are your thoughts on?
What do you want Stidham for? Why don't you get a guy that's actually proven something in the NFL?
Well, I personally think Stidham is nice. I don't think he's bad. I don't think you
nice,
like,
meaning what? What has he done?
Adams,
right? Yeah.
When he came in, he didn't stink it up like some of these other. Some of these other backups when they come in. That's what I mean by nice. I'm just really throwing names out there so that, like, if in the event they don't get Foles, what are the other options, right? So,
I mean, his career numbers are 270 passing yards, two touchdowns, and four interceptions.
he looked when they played him. And then the other thing I wanted to tackle was CB, right? Do you think they'll go out and or they're really just going in with what they got? Because you got Steven Nelson still a free agent, Brian Poole. you know.
Yeah, we're gonna go more into deep. We're kind of sticking to the offense tonight. We're gonna go more into the defense next week. But it seems like right now the Jets are kind of happy with all their young guys, and they're gonna kind of let it play out in training camp and see what happens. I think it just seems like that's they're more confident in their pass rush and their safeties, and letting the young corners fight it out. But we'll cover that more next week. We'll do defense next week.
So, but you guys on a personal, like personally, are okay with what they're doing in the secondary?
I mean, I personally would still like to get a veteran corner. I would make me feel a lot better, but I don't think Richard Sherman's going to happen. Nelson seems to want a lot of money, so we don't know about that. And they could be another thing where Joe Douglas is slow playing things and waiting to see who gets cut. You know, they seem pretty confident that this pass rush can hide a lot of deficiencies. That's what it seems like so far.
I agree. I mean, I think Carl Lawson is going to wreck havoc this season, or at least I'm hoping. So, but that was it.
Yeah, no.
Appreciate it, guys.
Have a good night, man.
Have a good one, man.
So we'll do, like I said, we're trying to just stay with offense tonight. We'll do defense next week. Obviously, we have Primetime, who's now a celebrity, so now we got to kind of deal with that. It's a whole other segment of the show. And, of course, you got Tyrone. I still can't believe Primetime's trying to apologize for things. I mean, I never thought we'd get to that level on this show, but whatever.
You said you wanted me to try to get the credentials back, so I'm trying to pull.
I didn't say sell your soul.
Who sold my soul? I just said sorry for being so mean. That's all. We were pretty mean last year.
Sorry for being mean. It's just a fucking New York market. We watch shitty football.
I'm not saying they didn't do their part in driving us to that. They clearly did. But you know, we were pretty.
They should apologize for killing my liver.
That I agree with, because I suffer with that shit too. and you normally drink more than I do. I don't normally drink that much. So last year, between lockdowns and the way the Jets were playing, shit.
So now I have another question. Before we go back into this to Jets, dude, am I the only one that finds New York baseball completely boring at this point? Like, it's unwatchable. I can't watch baseball. Dude.
I mean,
when you're not
in first place, yeah, it's probably pretty boring, you know? I totally get that.
Well, the Mets are boring to watch, too, dude. Don't even lie.
I only know, like, five Mets fans.
Got the best pitcher on the planet.
Yeah, always
still boring.
Till like the end of July, then it's over. So enjoy,
yep.
Man. It's good. If not, it's not
open,
y'all do like every
new owner, new team.
And I don't know why. I mean, Brent and Lindor is getting the ultimate pass of all time because he's been horrific. It's crazy how he's just getting such a pass.
He's been better in June. Nowhere near a $340 million a year player, but he's slowly coming along.
What's he batting, like 200, 220? What's he batting?
215, somewhere around there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Horrendous. All right.
I mean, that's the game now, though. I mean, it's all about launch angle, hitting home runs. You know, the art of hitting for a high batting average, it's gone now.
Except for, like, Ohtani, who's just ridiculous.
He
guy's a freaking nature.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, so we will go to James. James, what's up, man?
Guys, I'm doing okay. You know what? I'm pretty happy with the Jets right now, and I got to give kudos to my man Tyson. You know, the last time I called in, I thought the world was coming apart when we lost Sam Darnold. We changed him away, obviously, and I just was disgusted, flipping out. And Tyson said the magic words. He's like, wait, let the rest of the offseason play out and make your judgment after that. And at the time, you know, of course, I was getting ready to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. Thought the world is coming to an end, but I have been pleasantly surprised with this offseason and what we've done with the offensive line, just creating so much out of nothing that we had prior. You know, I've been really surprised, really happy. I'm in the same boat as you guys. I'd like to see some more work done with the backup quarterback, but at the same time, you know what, we kind of want to see what James Morgan is. But, you know, we want to keep our options open and make sales market, RG3, whatever the case is. We just want to have that insurance, right? And I'm with a lot of the callers that I've heard previously about keeping Fant as a reserve because we have our franchise quarterback that we believe, you know, is our guy now. We want to protect him as much as possible, right? You know, so you're going to have Beckett. You're going to have Moses. And who knows, maybe you even get fans the opportunity to start.
you know, maybe that lights a new fire under him. And then you just have three tackles where if one goes down, you know, Sexton's injury history, you can just plug another guy in. I like that. I like having a flexible roster. I like where we are with the offense. And I cannot wait to see that running back competition on training camp because there's four guys who I could sign off on and feel comfortable going into week one. We just got to see which one of those guys is going to show out enough. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm really, really excited for week one and training camp. So this is the best way I felt for Jeff Ammon in a while. So, yeah, I'll leave it up to you guys. How are you guys doing? Stay, you know, I want to tell you guys, stay cool out there. I know you guys are dealing with the heat and everything. So, anyway.
Been a hot
one. Tyrone.
Definitely say that. Definitely been a hot one. The day was hard. You know, but now we get to it, man. You know, summer, I got to enjoy the summer, you know what I'm saying, while we can. And, you know, everything's opening back up so everyone's able to get out and enjoy themselves. And, you know, we got this holiday coming up, which is a very special day for me anyway. So, you know, it's all good, man. Jessa looking good. Training camp's on the horizon, so. I always love when my birthday comes around because I'm like, yeah, right. A couple of more weeks, we're in training camp, so we're good.
Right, right. And that's awesome, too. I mean, what do you guys think about Fant? Do you think he's somebody that has the potential to start? You know, because he kind of comes off as, oh, okay, you think you're going to replace me? Oh, I'll check this out in training camp. And if he balls and shows that he can be a starter, would you guys feel comfortable with him battling with Moses, or are you just giving Moses the right tackle job from day one?
Well,
I'm
giving Moses the job. Prime time, what do you think, bro?
Bro, giving him the job? He doesn't have to earn it?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Moses is definitely an upgrade over Fant. I'm sorry. There's no question in my mind.
I think so, too.
Upgrade.
I think so, too. And, yes, day one, is he probably starting at right tackle? Yes, but he's got to play well. If he's not playing well, I totally expect Fant to be rotated in and given an opportunity there. And if Fant looks better, he should be the week one starter. I mean, what did you pay Moses? About $3.5 million? You go up to 5.3 in playing time incentives. If he doesn't earn that playing time, play Fant. He's a better option.
Well, Moses finished, like, I think he was like sixth last year in tackle play, so I think he's going to be just fine, bro. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love having Fant. I think Fant played well last year for us. I don't think he played that bad, but I just think that Moses is truly an upgrade. I think he has the kind of mentality they want. He's big, he's physical, he's nasty. He finished plays. And could you imagine him and Big Ticket pancaking somebody on the same time, bro? That's crazy.
No, Moses might be the better tackle. He's probably the better tackle, but is it possible that Fant could be a better fit in this system where athleticism is important? I mean, that's certainly a possibility. So I'd let these guys battle it out. I mean, Moses should be your starter early on, but if Fant looks better, I don't see why he shouldn't get the opportunity to be the starter.
Well, yeah, definitely. If he looks better, I just don't think he will. I just think that Moses is just a way better tackle. I just think, but I like the fact that we do have, you know what I'm saying, you know, for the first time in a long time, we said we have talent and talent and backup. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you got to be stoked about that. You know, and you look at the wide receivers, you look at there's just nowhere to hide, right? In years past, you just kind of force-fed and you generally, you know, flame out. Well, this year, if you're a Denzel Mims and you're not bringing it, well, guess what? Keelan Cole's right there, and he's going to want it, right? And same thing with this offensive line. Guys who are not going to be fully engaged or ready to go, you might not see them again, right? And we're going to learn that in training camp, who wants to go out there and play and who's not ready. And if you're not ready, you might not get that opportunity. You see what Keelan Cole is doing, right, in the mini camps, making noise. If he goes in a training camp like that and he wants us out as our number two wide receiver, that could be crazy, right? That's a good talking point. And then, again, I'm going to keep talking about this with running backs. Like, I'm just so excited to see what Ty Johnson can bring and what Michael Carter is going to bring, the Michael P. Ryan. And we just have so much competition. It's crazy, you know, and I don't even know where to bet on those running backs. You know, I do like Michael Carter. Obviously, he brings multiple, you know, abilities and facets. But when you really look at, you know, a Michael P. Ryan, who feels shaded, right, who feels like, hey, wait a minute, I flashed last year, and you're just going to, like, you know, shoot me aside. I don't think so. So I want to see what he brings in training camp. And of course, Ty Johnson, he had his moments last year, giving him more reps opportunity. I mean, I'm just stoked about this roster, guys. I love the competition that's there, whether it's a wide receiver, whether it's on the O-line, whether it's at tight end. There's just so many talking points and so many guys that you can get behind. And, you know, it's going to be a good offseason ahead, an interesting training camp. And then we just have to see what happens with that quarterback, right? Zach Wilson obviously is the guy. He looks sharp. We're going to see what happens in training camp when he's live, right, going against a pretty good defense. So that's going to be interesting too. And, I mean, what do you guys think about James Morgan? Because he's kind of you guys hit something with Cameron Clark, right? We didn't really get to see him last year. We don't really know what he is. And, again, we didn't really get to see what James Morgan is. Do you just think they walk into training camp and they show us something? Or, I mean – what is your realistic no shit judgment on James Morgan?
Well, I mean, that's what they've said, though. They were just saying, like, that since there was no preseason games last year and his training camp reps were limited just because of where he was in the depth chart, Rob Saleh, Mike Fulton, they had no idea what James Morgan even was, dude. They had no idea.
Right.
So they took the OTAs, the mandatory minicamp, to give him as many reps as possible to try to decipher what exactly he was. So, I mean, for any of us to say what we haven't seen him play, we don't know anything about him. So we have no idea.
Yeah, and then, I thought that was interesting because I know they talked a lot about, obviously Zach and he looked sharp in the minicamp, but I just didn't really hear a lot about James Morgan. I didn't really know what to think of that. Is that he's not really doing well or is he doing well?
I mean, there were some rumblings. There were some rumblings that he didn't look all that great. That was some little notes where they were just like, listen, once this is over, they got to get a veteran quarterback in there because these other guys aren't that good. So we'll see,
right,
man. We'll see what happens. Like I said, we all got to get to training camp and let them start getting the pads and let them, start getting blitzed and moved around and see what they can do and go from there. But James, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank
you, bro.
Have a good
night,
man. Stay safe.
Have a good night, man.
You too.
You too, man.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, like, you try to, like, read through all, like, the stories and all this other shit, and, like, there was a couple times where, like, I think every beat writer at some point kind of hinted where it was like, listen, it's all fine and dandy to give these guys reps, but some of the things they saw just wasn't good. So, we just got to, once prime time goes to training camp, we'll figure out how that works.
Not to keep ripping my apologies.
Some fake ass apologies. You're a fake ass. You're like Dow Roberts. You're a fake
heart.
Ass fan.
I poured my soul out.
You poured your soul out. Sold your soul out.
The price was cheap, baby.
Shit.
We have
a very low standard of credibility, and primetime just shit all over it. This is unbelievable.
No credentials and no credibility.
Yeah, absolutely, bro.
All right, we're going to go to Mr. Crenshaw. Jose, what's up, man?
For absolutely nothing.
Well, please.
You're already better than prime time, that's for sure.
What the fuck are we doing?
don't be mad because the Seahawks didn't put you in a video, all right? Don't be mad because of that.
Oh, shit.
What?
Shot fired.
I've been on a Seahawks video. Yes.
Yeah. I stand corrected then.
On their website.
Was it promoted on Twitter and Instagram on both of their social media accounts?
Oh, brother, no.
Oh,
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
My time is just, what are we doing?
Anyway.
My God. Exactly.
Anyway.
Yo, prime time, I can't
anyway.
Do Hollywood no more, man. New Hollywood
anyway.
Building, bro, that's all I'm saying.
Anyway.
I was just fucking around here, man.
Let's go back a couple weeks. Who's the one that said, sign more Morgan Moses and move Sam to guard. Oh, wait. That was me.
Yeah, but he's not getting moved to guard, though.
I would move. I would move him to guard. Is what I'm saying. Or you could...
I don't think he wants to move to guard. More money at tackle.
It's just left, on his contract.
No, he's got
he
two
has
more.
No... Two more? What the fuck were you guys thinking?
It's a 3-year, $27 million deal. Although last year, I don't think any of it's guaranteed.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Sorry about that. All right, so let's talk running back. I'm not as sold on the running back as the rest of you. Besides Michael Carter. Tevin Coleman is injury prone. We don't know what P. Ryan is. The guy from Notre Dame, Adam.
Why are you had to say that word? Who was coming?
We were 29 minutes away.
Yo, we never say that's cool on the show, bro. We don't say that show, bro.
I couldn't remember his first name.
Josh Adams.
Josh, yeah.
Same last name as your boy.
The one who's not at training camp? That guy?
He's still my boy.
The D with a can't cover nobody. You know, the box safety, that guy that got his two first round picks for his bum ass. Oh, I'm sorry.
The twenty million a year player.
Yeah. Out there with his Walmart shorts on and his shoes on. Nah. If he don't get the fuck off my Instagram and Twitter, fuck him. That guy? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking to myself.
You know what we gotta do, Tyrone? This is what we gotta do. When Jamal Adams signs that mega, mega contract, we have to get a reaction video from Jose.
Absolutely.
You're kidding.
Hey, Jose. Hey, don't feel bad, man, when we get a top three pick because your team sucks this year, man. Don't get mad at me, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Jose, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How does it feel to know that Marcus May is better than Jamal Adams?
Shots fired!
You, Tyrone, and Santa must be drinking the same Kool-Aid tonight. So I'm glad I'm not near that Kool-Aid.
Jose, let me ask you a question. Who can your boy cover, Jose? Because he can't cover no fucking body. So he can blitz and he can tackle, so that makes him the best safety in the league.
He can't even cover. Well,
no, it was a shoulder injury. That's what it was.
Hell yeah,
he had a broken finger.
He can't catch a fucking cold. He can't slip it. Who lit his ass up for like? He's passing like 20 yards. He's like, oh man, oh my god, I was hurt, man. He fucking he's out. Oh, You want to pay a box safety $20 million.
Let's see, what did he do against the Jets?
An interception.
Hey, yeah.
What did he do with the season on the line?
Exactly. Choke? Didn't he choke a little bit?
He Olayed that victory cigar
after clinching the division. That was a nice victory cigar.
It feels so good to make the playoffs. And what's crazy, Jose? He goes to the playoffs and he goes right home. You know what I'm saying? So what was the point of going? Like, he didn't do shit.
Just like the Knicks.
Wait.
How are we going to put the Knicks in your $20 million can't cover nobody safety, bro?
Hey, is it personal? I thought of the talk about the Jets.
Yeah, but how about this?
Okay, well,
Jose, here's my question, though. Jose, I have a question for you, though. How are you going to feel when the Seahawks, who have absolutely no leverage, have to pay Jamal Adams $18 and $19 million a year, and you got to start cutting players to afford them?
We don't have to cut players.
You will.
We don't. No, we won't.
Okay.
Dude, worry about the Jets.
I'm not worried about my Jets. You got to worry about your contract holdout.
And your disgruntled quarterback because y'all can't get an offensive line to protect them because you're paying your box safety.
Russell Wilson's gone next
fucking
year.
Fucking cover nobody on a secondary that fucking sucks $20 million a year.
That's fucking diva.
I got a question, man. Who's the basketball team in Seattle? Washington? They don't have a basketball team, do they?
The Supersonics, right? Isn't that it?
The Thunder. They were the Supersonics, weren't they? The Thunder? No, that's Oklahoma, ain't it? I'm pretty sure.
Now it's the Thunder. Before I drafted this early.
I mean, you want to drop Jamal early, man. Call your man, tell him come to camp, man. The boys need him, man. Don't act like that,
dude.
Man. You know, he said it was all about getting you a good place to win. Giving him a chance to win, and he's still bitching.
Tyrone.
Jose's about to light you up.
Tyrone. You are living.
Let him have it.
You are living rent-free in Jamal Adams' head.
Jose, that's where you're wrong because there's nothing free about Jamal Adams. So you're going to learn this very shortly.
Nothing.
He's
holding out. No,
Jamal
Adams. I'm gonna be.
He's living.
Hey, listen, Jose, I love you to death, man. I don't give two fucks about Jamal Adams. Is he on the Jets?
No, he's not.
You don't call us. You'll call us and assault my team, and you think you can get a pass because you our guy, and you calling that week when you get that prima donna soft ass non covering ass corner. Nah, bro, you don't get no more passes around here, man. Your free lunch is over. Your free lunch is over, Jose. We're not doing it no more. Okay.
okay, big one.
Put some respect on his name. Put some respect on our name when you call here, man.
Okay, big one.
Hey, listen, the girls don't call nothing, baby. Believe that.
Oh,
they don't call me big for nothing. Just say I'm blessed. Hey, don't go bad. Now they say I was blessed, man. They ain't nothing smart about it, Jose. They say I'm blessed, Jose. What are we talking about here now?
This is what we've got to
now.
I think I just lost intelligence listening to this.
Bro, Jose, Jose got his feelings, man, because, he calls it every week.
No.
We love you, Jose. You family.
No,
why you got to assault the team when your team is in disarray? That's all we have. Listen, how do you feel about paying Jamal Adams $20 million a year? That's all I want to know. You good with that?
His team's in the playoffs every year. He's seen them win a Super Bowl. That's why he could talk shit. I understand it.
Thank you.
Are they going to win one with Jamal Adams prime time?
Nope.
Probably not.
I didn't know Jamal was on offense, defense, O-line, tight end. I know he does it all. Tyrone, can we stick? I was talking about running back, and you brought up Jamal Adams. What the fuck? What the fuck? How the fuck did this go left?
Because Josh asked.
I don't know what happened.
Last name.
You said the one school on the show we swore we're not going to mention. You said it. That's what got it started, Jose.
Jose, you like winning teams. You support very good programs. For you to mention Notre Dame just makes sense to me, dude. I mean, I understand because they're so highly touted. That's what you want to mention. But listen, I respect that.
I ain't saying shit. I'm afraid to say shit now.
Nah, you got to say, man. Now, I'm just giving you a listen. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be weird with you.
Shut up.
I was just.
You must have got kicked out of. You must have got kicked out of. You must have got kicked out of. Not your kitty. That's why you're so angry. Fucking shit to me.
I love you, Jose, man. Listen. Hey, man. Hold on. You call in every week talking shit about my Jets, man, but I can't sit about your down-ass safety.
I do not. They didn't put you on a social media video.
Exactly. Yes. Tell him prime time. Oh, shit. He grabbed nothing on that one, Jose. He grabbed both arms on that one. He was like, yo, I was saying. Well, but Jose, maybe you can get a – maybe we can see the video with you and Jamal on it, baby. That's what we're looking forward to.
If I do.
I just signed it.
What the – you don't sign a video. What the fuck?
No, I said when Jamal Adams signs his $20 million contract, they can do a video for all the fans and, you know, the appreciation
you have. I'm going to do a video. I do videos on everything. I don't back down from anything. Unlike you, who never shows up.
Oh, I mean, why you got to go there, Jose? Why you got to take
that
it?
Was just, that's just the fact.
Damn.
Right, that's
fact. Hey, but tell your boy Tyson cut the check, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
I can barely afford Tyrone. Now I got to fucking afford primetime fucking Kevin now over there. Dude.
Listen, you know what, though? Hey, Jose, he was trying to fire me 3 days ago. He's like, yo, you're playing one
you
more
always,
time, I'm going to fire you, Tyrone. That's what he told me.
You always got Jose, you know what's sad, Jose?
Jose, right now I'm operating at a loss right now just to keep Tyrone happy. That's how bad things are right now.
Tyson, I told you, Crenshaw was harder and cheaper when
you're
ready.
You're cheaper, yeah. That's right. You're cheaper and less confrontational than Tyrone. Tyrone's a complete diva, and now you got prime time too. This is just unbearable.
Hey man, listen, man. Pay the bill, boss. Pay the bill there, boss. That's all you gotta do. Just pay the bill, boss. Stop complaining. Pay the bill, boss. You got it. Pay the bill.
Tyson.
You're good, Jose.
The quote Earth comes when you're ready. Come and get me when you're ready.
I'll come get you, Jose. thanks for calling it, man. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Hey, Brad, good night. Hey, Jose, do me one favor. Hey, Jose, do me one favor, though. Before you go. Hey, man, it's a good favor, though, bro. Yo, tell me happy birthday. My birthday's Sunday. Make sure you tell me happy birthday Sunday, all right? My birthday's Sunday. Thank you, bro.
I was asking for a birthday request?
You just asked him to wish you a happy birthday?
What the fuck are we doing here?
I told Tyson to send me some cash, so we good. It's all good. Have a good night, bro.
You know what's crazy, Kevin? This show. I don't even know where to go with this anymore. We were comic collected.
I've never heard anything like that.
We were comic collected for an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden Tyrone pulls this shit. This is why we lose all our listeners.
But you already told me I'm getting fired. You already told me my last show was August 1st, so it's all good, man. It's cool. I appreciate it.
All right, so we covered all the offense. We can wrap this shit up. We'll do defense next week. Tyrone, any parting shots, any little thoughts other than your shit you just did to Jose?
Man, I just want to say, man, thanks to everybody for calling. Thanks to everybody who supported with the shirts. Be safe this weekend, man. No drinking and driving, man. Oh, don't get yourself in no trouble. Catch your Uber. You know what I'm saying? It's my birthday, so enjoy it. Drink the first one for me and everything else for you.
Prime time?
Shout out to the Jets once again for including me in that video. I know it's always been nothing but love between us. So thank you guys once again.
Oh my
Be good.
God.
Enjoy your 4th of July weekend.
Holy cow, this is just going to be unbearable. Hope everybody has a great holiday weekend. Like Tyrone said, don't drink and drive. Be careful. Uber, Lyft, sleep on a couch, do something. Just don't drive. And that's it. We'll be back hopefully next Monday's a holiday. We ain't going to do a show on a holiday. Fuck that. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday. Have a good night.
Have a good night, folks. Y'all be good, man.
You too, man.